I'm David Schreiner-Kahn, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep us stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Vikram Rajan. Vikram is the co-founder of PhoneBlogger.net and Raviate, the web app that broadcasts testimonials through your raving fans. Vikram, welcome to the show.
Thank you, David. Looking forward to chatting.
So you and I have known each other for a while, and we've interacted kind of on and off over the years. I'd love to start out the conversation by talking a little bit about why you became an entrepreneur. What was it that attracted you to entrepreneurship?
It was my father's influence. He's a management consultant, but wasn't so all his life. He worked for the phone company, AT&T, Ma Bell, all through the baby bells. And when Bell Atlantic took over 9X, he became an entrepreneur in his own right as a consultant. And that was my formative time in college. And he really embedded in me the freedom and flexibility one can gain through entrepreneurship if one does it correctly in terms of building systems and a team and leverage. And we'll talk more about that. But it was always kind of in me during those formative years of being able to control my time and control my destiny and the way I earn an income. And, you know, working a traditional 9-to-5 job never thrilled me. I don't know if it really thrills anyone, but I'm thankful for knowing that there was a different way, a better way. And I've only really known it through my whole career and have kind of developed a process where I was a solopreneur and moved on from that. So I'd be happy to chat with you about that.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You said, I don't know if anybody likes I forget exactly how you described it, but the structure that's imposed by others,
sure,
right, being an employee. And I think there are people that really do like that kind of structure that is set up by other people, and they know that things are sort of going to be in place. They don't have to worry about things like making payroll or where's the next source of revenue going to come from.
Oh, sure. You know, having a staff myself now, I have come to realize that some people enjoy the benefits of such a structure so that they can achieve other things. They may be focused on raising a family. They may have their own entrepreneurial dreams that they want to structure so that, you know, kind of pays the bills so that they can fulfill and follow their own dreams, be it an entrepreneurial dream, a hobby, a passion, charitable endeavors. So my point was that very few people are thrilled with the 9-to-5 structure, but I think it comes in handy and useful. And for all the reasons that you mentioned, and especially if people can make it work that they are fulfilled by it, I think it's a wonderful to give structure and stability. I'm happy to provide that for about a dozen people at our company. So, you know, I want everyone at PhoneBlogger to be able to have their own side projects and own hobbies and entrepreneurial missions, let alone be it their family or other ongoing worthwhile productivity in their own time. And if we could provide stability and structure, and if any job can provide that, then that's what I think becomes fulfilling. I think if people don't have that and they're not fulfilled at work, well, then they're living a life unfulfilled, and that's not good for anyone.
Exactly. And I've certainly had a lot of discussions on this show, and I think those of us that are entrepreneurs have these discussions all the time about the appeal of the freedom and control that we have when we are our own boss.
And that's, of course, the irony, right? You know, most solopreneurs realize that the only thing worse than having a boss is having themselves as a boss or having, you know, 100 bosses as clients. And we don't very often have that freedom and flexibility when we're solopreneurs because we end up being workaholics or we have to be workaholics. And that's not a structure I enjoyed. And I think a lot of people think they have the freedom and flexibility when they're solo, but then soon realize that they're damned to something even worse than a job.
Exactly. So let's get into the heart of this discussion, which is how do you take the appeal of being an entrepreneur and create something that's viable and successful and not only fills your need for control and freedom, but also fills whatever your financial needs are personally?
You know, and without sounding too Pollyannish or cliched, there has to be part of the business that you enjoy. You know, it's to follow your passion, the prophets will follow. And sometimes that rings hollow for people who aren't living their dream or following their passion. But fortunately or unfortunately, I think it does boil down to that type of cliche that we have to identify what's going to get us excited in the morning, what's going to get us even more excited as we go to bed and think about the next day. And we have to focus in on that and know that everything else in our company is really supporting what helps us emotionally and psychically, and also brings value to others, because ultimately, you know, you don't have a business until you have a paying customer. So it has to also be fulfilling financially and valuable to someone else to pay you. But once you can identify that, and in, you know, phone blogger's case, it's content creation. That can sound very boring to some, but for those of us who are creatives and writers and authors, and those who want personal brands and be a branded expert, it's very exciting because it's what we live for in a real way. So I think that's the first step. And unless that's there, there's a thousand ways, if not an infinite number of ways, to make money and trade hours for dollars. But I think everyone should kind of try to find that passion and what they are excited about, because it's very easy to get burnt out as a solopreneur or any other professional. It's so easy to get burnt out or lose vision and feel unfulfilled. So I think that's the first step.
Absolutely. So once you figure out where your passion is and where you'd like to spend your time, how do you create something that generates consistent revenue? How do you get to that place?
Sure. The way we've done it, you know, I don't know, you know, I'm sure there's a half a dozen ways, and I know, David, you and you have a team of experts that help people in some regard in this area. So I'll kind of leave all the myriad of ways to you and your team. But the way we've done it, we've packaged and create a subscription service so that we know what it takes for people to market their practices using blogs and social media posts and email newsletters. So we essentially took that menu of items and packaged it so that they can kind of choose the full program or the half program or customize, tailor it to them. But we know that it has to be an ongoing process for them to market and to keep themselves top of mind with referral relationships. So it was relatively simple as I transitioned from a solo to our main company now at phoneblogger.net to create a subscription package, because we know it needs to get done on an ongoing basis. And I think for anyone as an expert professional, you're providing ongoing value. And if there's ongoing value, then there's an opportunity for a subscription. For some people, it's, you know, an ongoing educational course, be it a webinar or in person, et cetera. For us, it's the actual delivery of service. You know, for lawyers and other professionals, it could be being on retainer. So there's a variety of ways to kind of make it a monthly program or, you know, whatever the actual turnaround is. And I think the first step is for us was to package the service. You know, there's an adage again that says productize your service and servicize your product. So for us, we essentially productized it. We packaged it so that it was easy for people to purchase, because they don't really know what they need in the beginning. They just know that they should be blogging for some reason, and we have to help them identify those goals and reasons. They know they should be active on social media, but they don't have the time and they don't know exactly how to get it done, and we help them with that. They think that sending out an email is important, but they don't want to be a spammer and be, you know, cluttering other people's inboxes, so we have to help them do it productively. So we kind of answered it all in a package, and I think when we purchase items from others, we want to know that, okay, we're getting what we need. You're the expert. You tell me what I need. And if I need to throttle that based on budget or based on need or priority, allow me as a consumer, as a customer, as a client to do that. And that's what we allow and enable our clients to do with our packages.
Vikram, do you think that in today's world, it's easier than ever to create a subscription model like you've just described, particularly for a small service business like yours?
I think so. You know, taking credit cards is easier than ever with systems like PayPal and Stripe and even Square. You know, it's simpler to produce content or host it with video. You know, there are umpteen number of video hosting platforms from YouTube to even more powerful webinar systems. You know, so there are a variety of ways to turn services into content subscription, as well as delivery mechanisms. And, you know, now with everyone being decentralized and global, et cetera, you know, we have a global audience as consumers, let alone just this large country. as well as for them to be on our team to produce and deliver the results. So it's easier than ever. That doesn't necessarily make that the success is easier to achieve or the results are easier to achieve. It's just easier to start and do it, which, you know, we have to sometimes learn from our mistakes or learn from the professionals and experts to guide us.
What made you first consider a subscription model?
I did not like the topsy-turvy feast or famine aspect of being a solo consultant. I was a marketing consultant to begin with. So that was one thing that I did not enjoy. Talk about the structure you talked about earlier, David, about the 9-to-5 job. I did not like the fact that I did not have that paycheck coming to me, number one. And number two, I was horrible at billing. I still am. And it's one of the, you know, reasons why we take credit cards, kind of the secret is to let that out, is I just hate sending invoices and bills. Not that I don't value, and maybe there is some head trash there that I don't value myself. And either I hire a therapist or I get a merchant services account to take credit cards. And it was cheaper to pay the 2% to the merchant services than a therapist, that I don't need to get over the fact that I'm not billing well. I just need to be on recurring credit card processing with my clients. And that's what we decided to do. So it was kind of a part and parcel of knowing that I wanted a steady income stream and avoiding the aspect of having to send out invoices and then chasing clients and then, you know, going to the bank with physical checks. None of that appeals to me to this day. So it's kind of a number one thing. Sometimes I get asked, you know, what's the one thing that really made a difference in my company? It's really as simple as taking credit cards, and then everything can follow from that.
So that's actually a great story for our listeners to think about. And I'm wondering if you could describe a little bit about what your packages are and how they benefit your clients so that people can think about how they might apply some of the same logic to their own business.
Sure. So our clients are predominantly law firms, lawyers, and related professionals, and they get most of their business through word-of-mouth referrals, very often from their peers. Other lawyers recommend them, but of course they're clients who are good referral sources, but they get clients also from the presentations they do. So they have a stack of business cards, literally, figuratively in a drawer, in a literal Rolodex, or figuratively in their Outlook or their Gmail, their Yahoo. So they have all these email addresses, and they need to stay top of mind because, as the old saying goes, if you're out of sight, you're out of mind, you're out of those referrals. So we needed to solve all that for our clients. In the beginning, when we were marketing consultants, we would literally sit next to our clients and help them learn how to use Constant Contact or MailChimp or what have you, literally helping them export email addresses out of their Outlook. We would brainstorm article ideas with them in person or over the phone. And then we say, all right, John, write this article, get back to us. And they'd never get around to it. And we'd remind them a blog article really should be read within 2 to 3 minutes. It's a page at most. This can't take more than, what, half an hour of your time? You know, set it aside. And we start going to the time management basics of blocking out the time so that they could sit down and write the article on their own. And they never get around to it because something more urgent or what they felt was more important would get in the way, because they didn't really enjoy the process of writing and blogging. They knew they had to stay top of mind. They knew that value. They just didn't like the process. So we scratched our heads and thought, well, there has to be a better way. What if we just interviewed our clients over the phone, typed up what they said into a finished article, read it with them right over the phone before it went live so that they can tweak it in any way and edit some things, embellish other things. And, you know, as I said, a blog article, a blog post should be read within 2 to 3 minutes. So the phone interview would be 5 or 6 minutes. The actual reading of it, 2 to 3 minutes. They'd be done literally in minutes of their own time. And, you know, now it's very systematic, very streamlined. It's a weekly phone call that lasts less than 10 minutes, on and off the phone. 1 week they're recording, second week they're approving the article, and everything else is done for them, from posting it onto their blog. They don't have one. We launch one for them, promoting the article through their LinkedIn, putting it onto their email newsletter. As I said before, package it soup to nuts. All they need to do is hop on the phone, record or approve the article, and everything else is done for them. And our clients really appreciate that because they're not stupid or idiots. They're obviously experts in what they do. they just may not be as tech savvy as someone else, to, as our team, as our staff, to go in and search, optimize the article with the H1, H2 tags and get it onto social media properly and use hashtags properly and get it onto an email newsletter and kind of tweak Constant Contact or MailChimp to make it look properly. You know, they're not graphic designers. They're not techies. They don't want to be. They don't need to be, not with PhoneBlogger.net. And so for everyone else listening, think about it from the client, your client's or customer's perspective. What's their main pain, their main bane of existence of they hate doing this, and how can we make it easier and demystify it for them? And so for us, it became this kind of, you know, all-inclusive package. Now, for some clients, they are social media savvy, so we can carve that part out, or they have a social media team, so they can carve that part out, or they're very familiar with WordPress, so they don't mind running with it and putting it into their blog, but they prefer handling the newsletter for us to handle it for them. Other people don't really need social media because it's not the way their practice is run, but they see the value that, you know, more people check email than any of these social media sites. So it's actually way more effective. So we have customized the package, but I think coming out with this is option 1, 2, and 3 helps people grapple with it with all the myriad of options and clarifies our value and clarifies what they're getting in terms of deliverables and also clarifies their options in terms of customization. So not everything has to be one size fits all. And that's really worked out wonderfully because now our clients, in terms of success, everything, it's night and day. And it's funny because a lot of our clients know each other. And then when a new client comes on, they immediately can tell it's like the phone blogger difference. They were like radio silence. And then within a month, they suddenly have a blog and a newsletter and they're on LinkedIn all the time. And it's like night and day. And they laugh, they giggle. They're able to poke fun at each other in a positive way because they can see that PhoneBlogger has made an impact. Obviously, that makes us feel good. And more importantly, our clients immediately start getting accolades and attaboys, and people come out of the woodwork and invite them to present on the topics that they're blogging about and refer them because of these articles. And when that happens, obviously, that's the result they want from all this stuff. And that makes us feel good. And of course, they start referring us. So it becomes a wonderful relationship we have with our clients. So you can think about, for our listeners here, to think about how to add that type of value where clients can start even getting to know one another. It's one of the things that we pride ourselves in, to create that community of our recommended authors. And I think that is a virtuous cycle that anyone can start building. You know, we don't have a large community, but it's a tight-knit community, and that may be more important.
Yeah, go narrow and go deep.
Yep.
You know, you said something really interesting, Vikram, which is not just listen for your target audience's pain points, but pay attention to where their personal roadblocks are in trying to solve the problem themselves. Because what I didn't hear you say was that it is an issue of price. I heard that they weren't doing it, and you found a way to solve their problem and make it really easy for them, for you to provide the solution.
Correct.
Which is, I think, a big takeaway from this conversation. And the second step to this, which you alluded to a little bit, is on your part creating a system for this whole thing so that it makes it easy for you to repeatedly provide the same kind of solution over and over and over again. And I'm assuming also to be able to then scale it.
Correct. So it's been a work in progress that to this point, to say it's done, you know, is you know, maybe getting to a far ahead of ourselves, but it hasn't really been changed in a while. So Mark Bullock is my partner, my co-founder at PhoneBlogger.net, and we had many late nights. We would literally write down every step of the PhoneBlogger process, and we use multiple project management systems. Right now, we use a system called Smartsheet, which is like Excel or Google Sheets on steroids, if you will. It's a really easy way of systematizing, literally writing down every step, assigning every step to people. You know, a bunch of steps usually go to one person, but then like a relay race, they go to other people, and everyone can kind of communicate using Smartsheet as a project management or client management system. And as you rightly pointed out, it is systematic, but and it's repeatable. It's literally, you know, once you produce a blog article, it goes on to social media, goes to a newsletter, rinse and repeat. So we have to maintain literally dot the I's and cross the T's. Well, if it's not literal, figuratively. And so that's kind of towards the step. Another hint or tip for our listeners is take the time to write it all out, even if it's just you, so that you have a checklist. But then exactly what you said, David, it enabled us to quickly hire other people. In fact, really from the beginning, one of the best things that Mark really forced me to do, because I didn't have the time. I'm a writer. I enjoy writing. But I didn't have the time to interview and type up the articles for our clients. So we had to really, from the beginning, bring on someone. Her name is Marta Hanahan. And Marta is a very close friend of one of our longest clients, Ada. So we reached out to our clients and said, hey, we were thinking about doing this, but we need help. Do you know of anyone? And Ada mentioned Marta. And Marta was really a freelancer at that point, the contractor for us. And then as we systematized and really wanted quality control and do right by our staff, we converted them into employees because we want to do the right thing, let alone the fact that we work with labor law attorneys. So we want to make sure we're doing the right thing. But, even to this day, if we have a hands-off approach where people can kind of do it their own way, we bring them on as 1099 contractors. And as we want them to kind of do it our way, and we really kind of want to maintain that quality and consistency, well, the IRS would consider them an employee, so we consider them an employee, and we kind of bring them as hired staff. But going back to my prior point, writing out all the steps really helped us clarify all the little things, and we routinely show that to our clients. In fact, we have a launch checklist that is on our website, phoneblogger.net, that we regularly show our clients even before they become clients. It's kind of a part of our sales process because there's a first month of launch of all the things we need to set up or improve for our clients. And it's very easy to be glib. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm on LinkedIn already. Oh, I've got a constant contact account already. And it's like, no. The level of detail we go into can be overwhelming, to say the least. But unfortunately, people don't realize or recognize that. So we say, look, this is what we're going to do as an audit, but more importantly, do as corrective measure. Here's literally what we're going to do. And it's part of our sales process for them to go, holy cow, there's a lot of stuff here. And of course, that's selling our value, kind of going back to why it's not about price. It's selling that value of them realizing. And if they wanted to take the time to do it on their own, well, they can, but we know they won't because they hadn't. So we could say, hey, look, do it on your own. And if you want to do it on your own, go ahead and do it. They're probably not the right type of client for us anyway. So yeah, so anyone listening can kind of see if they've got all the infrastructure for their online word of mouth marketing.
Yeah, no, Vikram, this is really a great example of how to take something that you're passionate about. You started at the outset talking about how you're a creative person and figure out how to connect with a particular kind of client base that becomes your niche and how to provide a solution for a pain point in a systematic way and then grow from there. It's really a great example. So thank you for coming on and sharing your story.
I'm happy to do so, David. I hope it helps your listeners.
I think it will. Now, I wonder now if we could turn the discussion to somebody else, and if there's somebody you could highlight that you know personally who's done a remarkable job of smashing the plateau.
Sure. Do you know Joe Applebaum?
Yes.
Has he been on the show?
He has not.
He should be on this show. Talk about smashing the plateaus. So he's smashed multiple plateaus professionally and personally. Personally, I think it is more visual to everyone. Do you follow him on Facebook? Are you friends with him in that sense?
I believe we are.
Yeah. So you probably have seen over the past year, he has lost, I want to say 90 pounds. And that sounds shocking to me, but I'm pretty sure that's the right number, 90 pounds, which literally means he's half the man he used to be, or maybe even more so. And I say that in a good way, in an affectionate way. He's inspirational in that sense, personally. But he's also inspirational professionally because he runs a sizable company. So it kind of puts a glaring reality to someone like me who's busy, like most of our listeners and colleagues, we're all busy, yet he was able to find the time but really make the time for his physical fitness but also grow his company at the same time. Professionally smashing that plateau, he runs a multi-million dollar marketing agency, full service. And he's also developed a process to be more B2B oriented as well. He tends to work a lot with B2C companies, but more and more recently, he's recognized that there's can be equal, if not greater, value with marketing directors at a B2B type scale. So So he smashed the plateau personally and as well as professionally through going by growing his firm to a great level in terms of revenue and profitability.
Sounds great. So thank you for sharing that example. And what's coming up in the near future from you? What do we have to look forward to from Vikram?
So a year and a half ago, we realized that our clients were missing a huge factor that they knew that they had to share stories and client success stories and testimonials about their own success, about their own clients. But it's always awkward for any of us to ask our clients and our referral relationships and other colleagues to rave about us. So how can we actually make it easier for our clients to do so? So we're in the midst right now of rolling out the web app you referred to in my bio called Raviate, as in raving fans, R-A-V-I-A-T-E, Raviate, and enables our clients to capture testimonials by voice or by text and automate their social media using that and essentially turn testimonials into referrals and social media posts. And we have a special aspect of Raviate that's great for those of us who present seminars to capture feedback and engage with our audience in real time and to capture testimonials from those who attend our presentations, because that, you know, we know that one speaking engagement leads to another speaking gig and so forth. So the more our audience can rave about us, the better it is from speaking. And many of us get clients and business straight from our seminars and webinars. So Raviate can be used for presenters, but of course our clients are usually lawyers, and other consultants are able to really utilize Raviate to automate their social media and get more referrals using testimonials. So that's coming as we speak.
Yeah, it sounds like a great concept, and I'm looking forward to hearing more about it.
Thank you, David.
How can listeners learn more about you and follow you?
Easiest would be connect with me on LinkedIn, / my full name, Vikram Rajan, V-I-K-R-A-M as in Mary, Rajan, R-A-J-A-N as in Nancy. Likewise, at Vikram Rajan on Twitter, and Vic at phoneblogger.net, V-I-K at phoneblogger.net is my email. That's kind of the easiest way for people to reach me directly, since I am always in front of a screen.
Sounds great. Well, Vikram, thanks so much for taking the time to share your story with us on Smashing the Plateau. Some great, great nuggets there. My guest today has been Vikram Rajan, co-founder of phoneblogger.net and Raviate. Thank you again, Vikram, for joining us.